know, tonight we are coming to take the Lord's Supper, and that is the message, okay? Just the demonstration of the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the cup that represents the blood of Christ. And so I'm not going to preach you a message, but I did want to say a word about anticipation. Anticipation. Anticipation sort of changes over the years, doesn't it? You remember when you were a kid? You know, what was Christmas anticipation all about? Well, there's bad to the bone. Someone's phone's ringing. So. It was about presents, wasn't it? Like, we're anticipating getting presents. And I remember when I was growing up, now I don't want to mislead any children, but when Mom and Dad were out, we opened the presents up and actually watched the TV one year and then wrapped it back up and put it under the tree. I remember one year there's a big long box and I had been asking for one of those Tyco racing sets. Y'all remember those things? Man, I would love to have one of those now. But I remember I'd get over there, it was sort of behind the tree, and I'd scratch a little scratch place in the present so I could see what it was. And I just totally ruined the anticipation of Christmas because I just kind of ruined it. And then, so that's kind of what anticipation is. And, you know, remember when I was getting more and growing up, getting to be an adult, coming home for college, or, you know, and it was like the anticipation of, I don't know, seeing people that I hadn't seen for a while, you know, like my friends who were at different colleges, and I'd come home, and that was anticipation. And then I got a little bit older, and then, you know, like now, it's like the anticipation is, what are we going to eat? how many of y'all want to identify with that? It's like, oh, what's for supper? You know, it's like Dana handles the presents. I want to know what's on the menu. And so we have that anticipation. But I want to show you a character tonight from the Scripture around this theme of Christmas who was a man who I think represents anticipation for us. And, you know, this is the Lord's Supper. Let me just tell you that, and we're celebrating it here at the birth of Christ, but this is more about the death of Christ. But not really just the death of Christ. It's about the imminent return of Christ. Okay, that he's coming back, and if we're that's what anticipation really is tonight, about the anticipation of the return of Christ. But there was a guy that was in the Bible, and his name was Simeon, and I preached on this last year on the 23rd, but this is a little different, so I just want to read this to you, make a couple of comments, and then we'll enter right into the Lord's Supper. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And so here's this guy, Simeon, and the first thing he's doing is he's waiting. Okay, he's waiting. Now, you know, we use that word waiting a good bit. We say, well, we're waiting for Christmas to get here. A lot of us husbands say, I'm waiting on my wife. A lot of you wait on your kids. Some of us approach Christmas, and it's not like that for me this year, thank goodness, but it's like, let's just get it behind us, you know. And so we really don't want it to be that way. But that's not the kind of waiting that Simeon was doing, okay? Let me tell you what it means, okay? He was fully engaged in this waiting process. He was ready. He was willing. And he was waiting because God had made him a promise. See, because Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, wait a minute now. Didn't the Holy Spirit come at Pentecost? Yeah, he did. But Simeon has a special blessing of the Holy Spirit on his life. And God made him a promise and said, Simeon, I don't know when this promise took place. I don't know if it's when he was a kid, when he was an adult, or when he was an old man. But he said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the consolation of Israel. Now, that to me is a little bit of a confusing phrase, because I mean, it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So God had promised him, you're going to see the consolation of Israel. You know, when I think about the word consolation, I don't want to... I mean, this is kind of what I remember. I remember there was a show on TV called Let's Make a Deal. Y'all remember that? And the loser got a consolation prize. Y'all remember that? And it, to me, it's like the word consolation just means like a little pat on the back for the loser. Okay? That's not what it means. This consolation, it literally is the same, almost the very same word for the Holy Spirit. Okay? The consolation. It is the paraclesis. The word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us to encourage us and to convict us and to help us and to comfort us. And to, you know, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us. And so when Simeon says, I'm waiting, or he's waiting for the consolation, he's waiting for this one who's going to come alongside and encourage us and challenge us. And the heart of the meaning of that, though, is this. It's the one who's going to come and bring the evidence that will stand up in God's court. Okay? He's the one who's going to come and bring the evidence that's going to stand up. You know, a lot of evidence doesn't stand up in court. Okay, circumstantial evidence doesn't stand up in court. Evidence that cannot be corroborated does not stand up in court. But Jesus is going to bring, he's the one who's going to bring the evidence that's going to stand up in court. He comes alongside of us. And as I said this morning, we're all guilty. But when we join up with Jesus Christ, we become a Christian. He now will present the evidence on our behalf to God that will stand up in court. And we'll be declared not guilty. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. You receive the Lord. You receive His body. You receive His blood. You receive the salvation of Christ. You have now joined up with Christ. You know, there's another thing that I want to mention is that He says the consolation of Israel. Okay? The consolation of Israel. Israel had the chance. Had the chance. The book of Romans says that the gospel came to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And the Jews, by and large, have rejected Christ. Now, the Jews one day are going to come to Christ by the millions. There will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will preach the gospel all over the world, and millions of Jews will come to Christ. But right now, the door's wide open for the Gentiles. And so every Jew who was growing up in that time had this anticipation that God was going to bring a Messiah. Now, the word Messiah means the one who is the anointed one. And they thought that there would be one who would come and he would be the anointed one and he would save them in all kinds of ways. But what they didn't realize is that Jesus Christ was not going to establish his government and his kingdom from a throne. But he would establish his government and his kingdom from a cross. Okay? And so that's what it means when it says he was waiting for the Lord's Messiah. There had been messiahs that had come and gone, false messiahs, people that were supposedly going to be the deliverers. But it says that Simeon is waiting for the Lord's Messiah. And that's what we're celebrating tonight, the Messiah, the anointed one. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't take the Lord's Supper, okay? But why don't you accept Him tonight? Why don't you just pray and receive Christ as your Savior? Those of us who are Christians, you know, it gives us a warning over in 1 Corinthians. It says, don't take this lightly. don't come in here. And I know we've had a little bit of laughter tonight. We've had a little bit of you know, a little bit of mirth. That's okay. Now we're going to get serious, because we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And this bread represents His body, and this cup represents His blood that was shed for us. And let me pray for us. And as I pray, I want you to take the time to ask the Lord to forgive you for any sin in your life. If there's anything that is, you know that the Holy Spirit is convicting you about, go ahead and ask the Lord to forgive you. You know, I love the Lord's Supper because it is a time where we can sort of stop and take stock in where we are spiritually. And it's time for us to renew that commitment and to recommit ourselves to Him, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do come before You and thank You for Your sacrifice. You gave Your beloved, chosen one to come to this earth and be born in that manger. And I'm not sure what Simeon was expecting. I don't know what he thought when Mary and Joseph walked in and the Holy Spirit in him made a connection with the Holy Spirit of God. And You told Simeon that night or that day, this is the one. This is the one You've been waiting for. And Simeon, without question, believed. And he knew that Jesus was the consolation of Israel. And He would bring hope to the Gentiles. And He was the Lord's Messiah. And what a beautiful story. God, now we come all these years later, 2,000 years later, and we're still declaring that Jesus is the consolation. He is our consolation. He is the consoler of our souls. He is the one who came. And yes, He didn't set the kingdom up like they thought, but He set up a kingdom and it wasn't what they anticipated, but we know that He's coming back. In fact, He told His disciples, He said, y'all keep doing this Lord's Supper, you keep doing this until I come, because I'm not going to drink this cup until the day when I drink of it with you in heaven. But He said, y'all keep doing this and don't forget me. Do this in remembrance of me. And so tonight we come to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Christ did for us. But also in anticipation to know that one day He will come and He will set up His kingdom from a throne. He will rule and He will reign. And God, we will reign and we'll rule with Him. We believe that to be the truth. God, I pray for just for anyone here who doesn't know Christ, God, even right now in the silence of this moment, we'll just receive Christ. Just say, Christ, I want to follow You. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose from the dead. And I just want You to be my Lord, my Master. I want You to be my Savior. And so I'm opening up my whole self to You. And I want all of you to take all of me. And there are Christians here tonight that, God, we desire holiness more than anything. God, I know we desire it. We want it. But we're sinners. We fall short of that glory. And so tonight, Lord, we just come individually, Lord, and just lay our faults before You, asking You, God, to be merciful, to be gracious, to be graceful with us. Forgive us, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. for sacrifices, and none of those sacrifices would ever really deal with sin until Christ came. And Christ went to the cross, and He shed His blood. He had a broken body for us. And on the night before Jesus was crucified, He sat with His disciples in an upper room, and He wanted to demonstrate to them what was about to happen. And He wanted to remind them never to stop doing this until He came back. And so He took a piece of bread, and He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." And He told them, He said, "Always do this in remembrance of Me." I'm going to ask Terry Alligood if he would say the prayer over the body.
Father, we just thank You for Your message, for Your blessings on our lives, Lord, for the great blessing that You sent Your Son, Jesus, Lord, to give His body to be broken and to be tormented and tortured and to suffer. Lord, we know that He didn't suffer in vain, but He suffered to make a way for redemption for mankind, and we thank You so much for that. Lord, I just pray tonight as we partake of this bread that we would be mindful of the body of Christ that was broken. May we live in such a way to honor You.
Amen. He said, "Take and eat, for this is My body, which is broken for you." Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In all three of those Gospels, that same night, Jesus had passed the bread. He had taken the wine, and he passed it to the disciples, and he reminded them that this was representative of his blood. And he said, "I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until I come in my kingdom." You know, the Bible talks about there being this great marriage supper one day in heaven. And we're going to do this until Jesus comes back. He's waiting on us. Okay? And when he comes and he takes us home, then he'll join in the supper with us. But until that time, we'll continue to do this as a reminder of what he's done for us. I ask Ken Weaver if he would say a blessing over the cup.
Precious Lord, we thank you for this time of year to celebrate your birth. But Lord, we also celebrate and honor your death, Lord, and what you did for us as you shed your blood on the cross by ourselves. Lord, as we take this juice, Lord, we ask that you clean our hearts, clean our minds, Lord, and make us ever thankful and ever grateful for what you did for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And there we've celebrated the Lord's Supper, and we'll keep on doing it. I love the way this church approaches the Lord's Supper. It's the best I've ever seen in all my ministry. We're going to continue to do this. You know, it is Christmas, and we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And next, you got about two more days before Christmas. We got today's 22nd, 23rd. We got 3 days. Is that right? Yeah, Wednesday is Christmas. And so what I want to challenge you to do is go and take the gospel with you as you go. Carry the light of the gospel, and we're going to kind of symbolize that by having candles. And if you didn't get a candle, well, there's some available, but Steve's going to come and lead us in a song, but we're just going to start passing this light around. And you know, a light is always victorious over darkness. Doesn't matter how much darkness there is, light always wins, okay? And so wherever you go, whatever you do, make sure you're part of the light. Make sure you're carrying the light with you, okay? Steve, you come and lead us, and we'll pass this light. Okay? Let's all stand.